Morning, everyone.
Morning.
I just want to encourage us with a couple of scriptures. Where we were worshiping this morning, we were talking about Lord Jesus Christ's walk here on earth. Honor and glory to his God and Father. I think this is an encouraging part of scripture in Luke chapter 9 and verse 28. And in this passage, I just want us to touch on a couple of things for service. And these are a couple points I want to take out about how we can serve the Lord and the importance of serving the Lord and some things that we can do from the scripture that we can get encouraged for service. Luke chapter 9, verse 28, and it says, "And now it came to pass about eight days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then as it happened, as they were parted from him, that Peter said to Jesus, 'Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah,' not knowing what he said. And while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, hear him.' And when the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone, but they kept quiet and told no one in those days any of the things that he had seen." So the first thing we're going to look at in this passage is that they went up to the mountain to pray. I think it's important for us, if we're going to be in service for the Lord, if we're going to do things for the Lord, that we have to take time to be by ourselves with the Lord. We have to come apart from the world. When they went up to the mountain, it was almost like the people were always on the base of the mountain, and they used to go up to the mountain. Lord Jesus Christ always went in secluded places to pray. I think it's important for us is that, there's so much thing grabbing our attention, whether it be on the phone, it's football season, you turn it, there's so much things happening. Sometimes we need to come apart from the world and spend time with the Lord by ourselves. And then the mountain, to me that symbolizes, you're coming up, right? You're coming up. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're not on this world plane, right? It's almost like you're going up to the things where the Lord would want us to be, to in the heavenlies, enjoying his blessings, right? And so I think this is something that's important. He went up to the mountain to pray. But we see what happens when you pray. And it says, "And as he had prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening." That there is a change when you pray, right? Some people think, you pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing and these different things. But there is an effect on you when you pray. When you pray for others and when you are praying, you have an effect. Let me tell you something. A brother once told me, you can't hate somebody who you pray for. It's impossible, right? Because if you have a problem in your job, there's this co-worker who's bothering you, or this neighbor or whatever. You know what I'm saying? If you pray, trust me, it will change your countenance. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He prayed and his countenance was changed. And also his robe became white and glistening. I believe this is the same thing for us. As we pray, our countenance will change. Our dependence on the Lord. We no longer, the Bible talks about, pray for everything. You know what I'm saying? Because don't be anxious for anything. But with prayer and supplication, let your prayers be made. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes we get anxious about certain things that are happening in our life. We look around and we get despair. But prayer can change your countenance. Prayer can change your the way you look. And it not only changed his face, but it says that his robe became white and glistening. And I think that people can look at us and they can see Christ in us. They can see our testimony when we pray, when we are dependent on the Lord. Because you know what? You won't be short with people, right? People will see there's a difference that this person has been with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says that his robe became white and glistening. And it reminds me of Stephen in Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 7, when it says that his face shone, right? His face shone, that it says that he was so full of the Holy Spirit. He was so a man who was dependent in prayer, that it says that his face shone. And this is how we can be that prayer can change the way you look. Prayer can change the way your testimony looks to the world. And it says, and behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. And this is the thing, what's our conversation? It says, Moses and Elijah came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were talking about his death, his exodus, right? That's the things that should be on our mind. It should be the Lord Jesus Christ's death and his resurrection. That's the thing that should be in our mouth as we talk. These two men, Moses and Elijah, you know, they could have talked about anything. Maybe if you came back, right? And you say you've been gone for a long time and you come back, you say, oh, wow, they got internet. They got self-driving cars. You're thinking about all these different things. All they were concerned about was the Lord Jesus Christ's death and his resurrection. And the word for decease here really means exodus. And it not only means death, but it also means departure. So it wasn't that the death is final, and we have to tell people death is not final. It's an exodus. It's a departure from this life to the next, right? And so the beautiful thing about it says that these men who were great men in the Jewish faith, Moses and Elijah were like the two pillars, right? You know, they always used to talk about Elijah and Moses, the law and Elijah, when Elijah was going to come, right? And here it says that they came and all they wanted to speak with the Lord Jesus Christ was his decease, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. But it says he was about to accomplish. And everything the Lord Jesus Christ is about to do or do, he could talk about it as already has been victorious, right? It says he was about to accomplish. He hadn't done it yet, but it says that he was about to accomplish, that he was going to do it. And that's the thing, is that we can always, as we go out in service, knowing that Lord Jesus Christ has been victorious, that he's coming back for again. His promises are yea and amen, the Bible says. And it says here that he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. It's just encouraging to me that these two men, who they could have talked about all the things that they've done, you know what I'm saying? Oh, I led the people out of Israel. Elijah could have talked about all the things he's done. They were focused about the Lord Jesus Christ and about the things he was about to accomplish. And to me, if you want to be in service for the Lord, we have to focus on his death and his resurrection. I think it gives us hope. It gives us the power in which to do the things that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to do. When we're focused on other things, to me, that's when you get discouragement. You know, we should be encouraged that the Lord Jesus Christ has conquered. He has accomplished these things that he's talking about. He's coming back for again. He will do it, right? Because everything he says, he will do. And we have to go out to the world that's going out there, and we have to pull them out of the fire and let them know the Lord Jesus Christ died for them. But also, it reminds me how the Apostle Paul said, he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Is that when you see the Lord Jesus Christ, what he's done for us on the cross, that what he's done and rose again and brought us into, it should give us that power for our walk. It should give us that desire to say, you know what? I want to do these things for the Lord. I want to be on fire for the Lord. And as we go on, it says, but Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were fully awake, they saw his glory. This scripture here, it seems like every time the Lord Jesus Christ prayed, the disciples are sleeping. We see in the Garden of Gethsemane, we see here. And it just tells you our natural being is not for the things of God, right? Our natural being, if we want to do things on our natural, we are going to fail. We are going to get tired, right? But it's the spiritual energy that will give you that energy to keep on going. And it says here that when they woke up, they saw the glory of God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is waking us all up today, I believe. And we could see that in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6. He says, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, drunk at night. So the encouragement for us here is that we should wake up spiritually. What does that mean? It's easy to coast in this Christian life. You know, there's some of us who may have grew up in a Christian home. There's some of us who have known the Lord Jesus Christ most of our lives. It's easy to coast. It's easy to sleep. Sleep through our Christian life, right? You go to meeting, you wake up, you read your Bible, but it doesn't have any effect on your heart. It doesn't have any effect on you, right? You can go through times when you just, it's, I don't want to say it's monotonous, but it becomes a routine, And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to do. He wants us to have a fruitful Christian life. He wants us to have a Christian life where we're walking with joy and we're walking with power that he wants us to have for to show the world what he has for them. But it says that when they were fully awake, they saw his glory. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to do. He wants us to wake us up, not to wake us up to do this or do that, but he wants us to see him for who he is. You know what I'm saying? He wants us to see him for who he is. And I think that's what we have to be encouraged today, is that if you are saved, we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing for him? He died for us. He gave his life for us. As it says, he was about to do his exodus. He accomplished all these things. He wants to wake us up because he wants us to see his glory. And I think when we see his glory, it will have an effect on our lives and the way we live our lives. And I'm telling you, if you're saved, you know what I'm saying, he wants us to grow. He wants us to grow. If you're saved, then you know you should be baptized, right? If you're baptized, then you should be taking your place in the Lord's Supper. It should have an effect on your life that it demands your soul, your life, and your all. That's what the hymn writer said. When we look at the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished for us, it demands all of our life. And let me tell you something. Boon for service for the Lord, you may fail, right? When I mean by fail, you might not get the big numbers, or you may not get you might not get any accolades, you might get anything and stuff like that. But you cannot fail, because the Lord, one day he will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Everything that you do for the Lord Jesus Christ, it will never go to waste. Even if you fail to man's eyes, right? The Lord will give you a reward in heaven for what you do. But I'm glad that the Lord had them wake up at the right time so they could see his glory. And this is the answer to the Lord Jesus Christ's prayer. Because the Lord Jesus Christ's prayer in John 17, it says that they may behold my glory. So the Lord Jesus Christ's prayer was answered here. And I think in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says, when we behold his glory, we are changed from glory to glory also. So it's not only that as we see his glory, it affects us and we are changed also to look like him. But also another encouragement that we can have is from Peter. Let's look to 2 Peter, because Peter was there. He was one of the eyewitnesses. And this is the effect it had on him. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, I think verse 16, yeah, 16 and 18. 16-18, it says, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For we received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came from him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved whom I am well pleased. And we heard his voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And this is something else I wanted to bring in, is that whenever you are spending time with the Lord and you're in his presence, it will affect your place, right? It says that Peter called it the holy mountain. I mean, we know the mountain wasn't really holy, right? I mean, the mountain was holy because the Lord Jesus Christ was on it. Because at that time, we know in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4, it says that he doesn't speak to prophets and all these different things. He speaks to his son. So I'm bringing the fact that Peter said this was a holy mountain. If we want to live holy lives, if we want to live lives that are pleasing to the Lord, if we want to live lives that when people see us, that we are good testimonies, we have to spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how holiness comes to light, because we are looking at him, we're spending time with him. And so Peter said here that, and I believe this had a great effect on him. It says that we heard his voice which came from heaven, we are on that holy mountain. Holiness is where the Lord Jesus Christ is, and when we spend time with him, and we'll emulate that in our lives. Let's go back to Luke chapter 9. And as we go forth, it says, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. So, and let's read on, because I want to bring in something else. Then it happened as they were parting from him that Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. Let me tell you something. I've grown up and we've all, in amongst me, and we've seen great men of faith. We even read a great man of faith. If you want to look at, I mean, throughout history, you know, Martin Luther, Spurgeon, Billy Graham. I mean, you can name men and men who were really on fire for the Lord. And we even people who we know personally, right? But they can't compare to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's another thing. If you want to be a good servant, you have to look at the perfect servant. Every other servant will fail you in some way, right? I mean, you look at me, I'll fail you. You know what I'm saying? You look at anybody, they'll fail you. But the only person that you can look at that will never fail is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says that they saw his glory in the two men who stood with him. The Lord Jesus Christ was the only person they were supposed to look at. And Peter, of course, was saying, oh, well, it's good for, look at these, all these men. You know, he's trying to put them on the same level as the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the danger many people do today in Christendom, is that they look at men and they follow men. And when those men fail, they end up getting disenfranchised. But that will never happen if you're in the service for the Lord, if you keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? Keep your eyes. I'll tell you 1,000 times, keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to do, keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at the surroundings, you'll get discouraged. If you look at other men, they'll fail you. But you keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll give you the power for your walk. But what happened when he started to look at all these other men? It says, while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. So this is Peter, you know, sometimes I don't want to chide Peter because, you know, he's just a human like us. But he's always a person. He always takes his eyes off the mark, right? We know when he was on the water, right? Now he's on the mountain. He's looking at other men. But the Lord, the God had to come and really chide him and say, you know what? A voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Hear him. So the first thing I wanted to bring up is that, of course, we know that Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest, right? He's the greatest. Let's look at a scripture. So it's not from me just saying it. I know we know, but I want to bring it up to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past by the fathers, by the prophets, has in the last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. The Lord Jesus Christ has no equal. There's nobody who's on the level as him. You know, he's greater. The Bible says he's greater than Solomon. He's greater than temples. He's greater than the angels, right? You know, we could talk about there's no greater love than this, right? You know, as we go through our scripture, when we talk about his greatness, there's no one greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says also, when you talk about greatness, we could think about his name. There's no other name given amongst man where we could be saved. In Philippians chapter 2, it also talks about he has given a name above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. So he has the greatest name. He's the greatest person. When we talk about ourselves, sometimes we go through bouts, right? When we start to say, well, you know, maybe I'm not really such a good Christian or thing. And our conscience, you know, our conscience kind of condemns us. In 1 John, it says that when your heart condemns you, God is greater than our hearts. You know what I'm saying? It's amazing how great a God that we serve. His greatness is truly to be praised. And as we go on, it says, and a voice came out the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. And this word, hear him, really means to obey, right? To obey. This is my beloved son, obey him. And this is what my encouragement is that as we hear God's voice, it's not just for us to hear and to go home and be happy and be encouraged, but it's for us to obey him. What is God telling you? What is he telling you? And that's in order to be a good servant, you have to be obedient. What is God telling you? Like, look, let me tell you something. He might be telling you something and you might be looking real crazy. Look at Noah, right? Noah, the Lord told Noah, you know, to go build an ark, right? And then people laughed him to scorn, right? You know what I'm saying? And you know what? That's what he had to deal with for all those years. But you know what? He was obedient to what the Lord was telling him. And sometimes obedience, blind faith to the Lord, it looks crazy sometimes, right? But you have to continue because it's what the Lord wants us to do. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You know what I'm saying? That's what the Lord wants obedience from us. That's his ultimate way of worship is obedience. Is that, you know what? He wants us to live lives that when people see us, it says that when they saw the early Christians, they could look at them and say they have been with the Lord Jesus Christ. Even when Peter was on, you know, was at the fire and he was acting all crazy and saying, they said, you know, no, we know you've been with him. His speech was betraying him. You know what I'm saying? It says that in the early Christians, they were men who turned the world upside down. It was saying that they took note that they have been with Christ. Is that this is what obedience does. This is what a prayer life can do when you're being in service for the Lord. Is that people will, you know, be changed not only because what you say, by the life you live and the things that you do. So let us live lives that are obedient to him. And it says, when the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone. And this is what the ultimate thing, I believe, the ultimate culmination of service is that you see no one but the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? You're serving other people, but you're only seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, is the way I look at it is that you're doing it because you love him. You're doing it because you're obedient to him. You're doing it because you feel that everybody needs to know the Savior who changed your life. And so it's not you looking at them, because you may look at somebody and they may be a different race from you, a different ideology from you. And so you may disregard them. But if you look at them and you see, you know what, this person needs Christ, you're looking at Christ and just the object is Christ. And I bring the example of the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler, I think, is a perfect story of a perfect servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because it says that the Lord Jesus Christ looked upon him and loved him. But the Lord Jesus Christ knew that he was going to reject him, right? Because it says that he went away sorrowful because he had many possessions. But the Lord Jesus Christ looked upon him and loved him. It's not, we don't look at people because of the response we're looking to get or because of who they are. We look upon them and love them because we see this is a person who needs the Lord Jesus Christ. And I look at, I like the in Jude, where it says that you having compassion upon them, pulling them out of the fire. We have to go about this world having compassion on those who are heading to a crisis eternity. The people at our jobs, the people in our neighborhood. These are people who are heading to hell. And sometimes, as we read before, we're asleep. We're thinking, oh, this person's a nice person. He's a nice neighbor. And they're nice people. But they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be good servants. Let's tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's live lives that they can see that this person is different, that they have been with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says that God here says, this is my beloved son, hear him. Is that in other scriptures, I know in Matthew and other scriptures in Mark, it says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And this is the ultimate thing of service. At the end, God will give you that ultimate reward. And sometimes it may not be on earth. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it may not be on earth. It may be sometimes you may go through it and you know what? And you may not be seen. You may not be, you know, you may be discouraged. You know what I'm saying? As you go around, you may tell people at your job. And you know what? They may never, ever, ever accept the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? You'll get a reward for that. Because you're telling the good news. The Lord Jesus Christ wants us to all tell somebody. You may go hand out tracts. You may do mailings. You may go to Mawa Day. There's so much things that you may do, and you may never see the earthly fruit of it, right? But there'll be a reward for you in heaven. And I'm telling you this is that don't give up doing the things for the Lord. And we see here that these are things. The first thing, we have to come apart from the world. We have to spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ alone. That's how you get energy. You have to pray. You know what I'm saying? We have to pray. We have to spend time with him. And as you pray, you'll get that energy. You'll get that thing for your countenance, right? But we have to also wake up, right? You know what I'm saying is that, you know, I'm telling you, I've been there. When I was a teen, you know, I grew up in a Christian household, right? You know what I'm saying? When I was a teen, man, I used to come to meeting and do sometimes what my kids do, right? They fall asleep, right? You know what I'm saying? And you just like, you coast through life, right? Then you hit 20 something, and you're like, oh, well, let me start to get serious. That's not what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to do. He doesn't want us to coast through life. He wants us to get serious about his things. He's telling us to wake up and see my glory. Wake up and see what I want you to do. Obey my voice. And I want us to all be encouraged. So these are a couple things I just want to encourage us from Luke chapter 9. And I think that's what the Lord Jesus Christ wanted me to share with you this morning. And so maybe encouraged to continue for service. Continue spreading the good news. Continue showing forth Christ to the world. And may we be encouraged. For his name's sake, amen. Amen.